This is an ABC podcast.
This is Baby Talk Podcast with Penny Johnston.
The whole idea of routines for babies and children has been something of a dirty word in the parenting world, but it's starting to gain some traction. And there's a very good reason for it. My guest today is very keen to talk about how, as parents, we can turn ordinary family moments and routines into rituals that will create connections to make children feel loved and make family life easier to manage. Lou Harvey-Zara is a teacher and parenting author. She's written 5 books. She's a real advocate for imaginative solutions to some of the toughest parenting conundrums. And today she's here to tell us about how to create family rituals that will create wonderful moments, build memories, and most importantly, now, while you're in the trenches of early parenting, give you ideas on how to make things easier in the parenting day. Lou, thank you so much for coming in to tell us more about this idea of rituals. To start, perhaps, could I get you to explain what a ritual is and perhaps how it's different to routines?
Rituals is a lovely word. As children, we have to realise that they don't know time. They don't know minutes, hours, days of the week. And when we do ordinary family moments, like get up and eat a meal and go to bed, and we put in these little rituals, it is way more than we ever imagined. Because instead of time, it means stability, security, trust, connection, all these wonderful things. And we're so busy and we've got so much technology that we need to stay connected. And sometimes just a 5-second little bedtime ritual will make the child feel very loved and like they belong.
How stringent do these rituals need to be?
Well, to be honest with you, children love them. Human beings are rhythmical. We create rhythms in our life. We have cups of tea at 4 o'clock. That's why television's so popular. We watch our program at this time. So they will usually ask for them. Now, this doesn't mean that, you know, if something dramatic's happened or there's a huge birthday or something's going on, that we keep going even if it's stressful for us. But what I'm saying is if you find the right rituals with your child, it won't be stressful. It will actually be enjoyable and it will add a lot to your family life.
Can you give us an example of, say, a ritual for bedtime?
I often say to parents, don't say it's bedtime. Don't say bedtime okay. It's not a question. It's not a choice for the child. There's a lot of science now on if we have these regular bedtimes, if it's 7:30, if it's 7, 8, whatever it is that we stay at that time. And you can often have, particularly with these young children, a fun way to get to bed. And they will want the same way for 7 years. This is the thing. So it might be, come and stand on my feet, the giant will take you to the castle. It might be, hop on board, the aeroplane's going to the airport. An aeroplane can, and the lights are going dim, the wheels are coming down, the runway's approaching, and we've landed softly. Yes, so I meet lots of people, they have a different way. I met a mum that said they did a magic carpet ride to bed. And I said, what is a magic carpet? She said it was an old tatty beach towel. And I'd left it by the door and my 2.5, 3-year-old got on it and I pulled her. So these things kind of, you have to work out your children. I met a dad who had 5 boys and they used to ride pretend motorbikes. There's a lot of ideas, and sometimes something comes, but something playful, something imaginative, something fun that connects you together is a little game they'll ask for. And not only does it help to go to bed, they will play it with their own children. It will become a hereditary pattern.
Wow. I did hear of one mother that used to put on Pharrell Williams' song Happy when it came time to set the table, gather everybody for dinner, and everybody sort of danced around and put the plates on the table and dished up, and then they were all there in a good mood, ready to eat dinner together.
That's fantastic, because I often say that we can make ordinary moments extraordinary. So every human being on the whole planet wakes up Everybody gets dressed in a sense. Everybody eats. Everybody rests. Everybody sleeps. This is what we all have to do. This is the key. If we have these little rituals, they become something that children can rely upon, trust. They build our family tribe, yes? They make the roots. And often people say, oh, but my child knows I love them. But love is actually an action. And we're so busy, we've got screens in front of us all the time. And I say, it doesn't matter how long you work, how much time you have, it's these little repetitive, enjoyable family rituals that we do together. I was talking and I was giving this tip that when you say, I love you at bedtime or in the morning, you squeeze their hand three times as you say it. So you say, I love you. And this will last throughout the years. So when they get past 9, 10 and they say, don't sing mum anymore or put me to bed in this way, you can squeeze their hand three times and they know what you're saying. I was listening to this American talk show host and he said he played this game. And his mother on her deathbed, she had been unconscious for a couple of days, squeezed his hand three times. I gave this idea in a talk. A parent went on my Instagram the next day and they said, my daughter said, gave me a fourth squeeze. And I said, what's the fourth squeeze mean? And she said, forever. I love you forever. So often all my rituals don't cost anything. Yeah, they don't take a lot of time, but for me, they're so profound in our feeling of belonging and feeling of building trust, predictability, connection, love, fun. You know, they are really worth their weight in gold.
If you don't have those routines, rituals, what are you in danger of having?
Topsy-turvy life. And often I say, everybody, doesn't matter if you're 2 or 52 like myself, you know, if we're too hurried, if we're too rushed, if life's topsy-turvy, then we're going to have some little emotional meltdowns occasionally. We do like routines and rhythms. Whether we feel we want to be creative, that's fine, spontaneous. But there are these stages of the day that we will all do. And when we play these games, there's three human needs. The first is shelter. The second is nourishment and the third is belonging. And I think we're missing out a little bit on the belonging. And we can do this whether a child's 2, 3, 4, even teenagers. I was reading Lily Allen's new book and she's an English pop singer and she was addicted to everything. And I read it to see how she came back. Yeah, because she could have been an Amy Winehouse. We could have lost her. And her first chapter was on her childhood. And her first paragraph said, I had no routines, rhythms, rituals growing up. She had a comedian father and a film producer mother. And they obviously felt that the free-range life was the creative life. But she said, because she had no rhythms and routines, that she, her words were, I was a heartbeat and bones, but I had no skin holding my body. It was very descriptive.
Wow.
She said she put the television on every morning when she was in school so that the same presenter would smile at her and it became her security that was, she could count on that and they were there. She went on to say as an early teen she had a stepdad that signed her up for 6 cooking classes on a Saturday and took her to the same cafe afterwards for lunch and it's her only real memory. So she was really, really calling out for actually some of this structure, some of this routine rhythm, yeah? So
wow.
Because it does actually build a huge amount of trust
okay.
in family life and connection.
So how can it help us? We're not talking about the stern matron, baby must sleep between 1 and 3 every afternoon, but it's more that you know that after you wake up, you'll have a breastfeed if you're a baby and then a little play and then go back to sleep. Or if you're a toddler, how would that look for it?
Yes, and it really, I think it helps parents too because they can feel a lot lost in the parenting world and everyone's telling them different things. And, you know, when they have these little routines, whether it's even that if you had a baby and I'm going to do a little baby massage on a Monday or I'm going to walk on, simple things that come round. And because we're so busy and a little bit distracted with our technology, we mean to be playful, we mean to say a little rhyme or do things and it goes out the door, particularly if we're working parents and we're rushing. So I say in the morning, if you can have a little wake-up game, You know, when they're really young, they like butterfly kisses, which is your eyelashes tickling their cheeks. That's it. If it's cold, you might do Eskimo noses because it's cold. Can we warm our noses up? That's it. There's a, you know, they need to be warm, met like the sun. Yeah, and children will naturally gravitate to us. They want us straight away in the morning, and we can be, it's too early. We might have to go to bed. But it's the fact that we've played a little game. I also give a little game called Filling Your Love Tank. So you actually, and a two-year-old likes it, and I've even heard a seven-year-old love it. And maybe in the morning, we hold our children and we only focus on them. Now, that's rare that we do this. We're thinking, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And we say, I'm filling your love tank. Tell me when it's full. I've got a secret. It's usually 3 seconds. Because we're really putting our energy on. I was giving a talk and a dad had to go out to see his 2.5, 3-year-old. She was missing him. She was next door being looked after in a creche. And he went off. He came back really quickly and he stopped the talk and he said, Lou was right. 3 seconds. And then a mum contacted me and said, my 3-year-old was clinging to my leg and I was trying to cook dinner and, you know, it was going to go pear-shaped and I just bent down and I said, I'm filling your love tank. Tell me when it's full. And I just focused on her, shut my eyes. And then she went away. Then I had this lovely mother that sent me a picture of her Mother's Day card from a creche. And so the 2-year-old had drawn a picture that kind of really didn't look much. Okay. And the carer had said, tell me what you want to say. And the child had said, I love my mum because she fills my love tank. So these things are tiny. They take 3 seconds. They're the repetitive words. So this is something that can happen in the morning. Yeah. And there's lots more ideas at bedtime I can go through with you. And they usually last, as I say, 7 years, and they're little games. So cleaning teeth. If you can tell a little story about each tooth, this tooth at toast, this tooth were spotted, you know, some dogs on the way to kinder, this tooth played with Jenny, this tooth balanced on the wall, and you talk about their day, it will make teeth cleaning so much easier. And it's this little ritual that you recount the day and you're connected. So often these rituals make life easier for times that are hard. They make it fun, which children actually really enjoy, and they connect you together.
When you were talking about rituals, I was more thinking about things around birthdays or Christmas or, you know, get-togethers with families. I mean, one crazy one for us for birthdays, and my son asks for it all the time, is string. So all the presents have to be hidden around the house with a long ball of wool connecting them, and you have to follow the string to get to the presents. And that was something that my mum did for me, and he just loves it and won't have a birthday without string.
So I'm glad you said that, because there are daily, obviously, rituals. We can cover a bit more about mealtimes, bedtimes, rest times. There's weekly, where we do things in a pattern. Children love food in a pattern. They love pancake sundae. They love you. They just love it, and it comes round. And if they help to crack the egg or sprinkle, yeah. So we put things in our weekly rhythms. When they're older, we can put family games night into a rhythm. My teenage son and my husband, they went to brunch every Saturday between about 15 and 18. And I said to my husband, "What a lovely routine!" And he said, "It's not a routine. It's an investment." He's left home now. He's there in the cafe every Saturday. But there's also yearly rhythms, and you're correct. And children love these rituals that we bring in. My mum used to write me clues on my birthday, even before I could even read. So the first one would be, when I first got up, there'd be one clue. It would say, the dog's hungry. And then you'd run to the food bowl, and then it would say, I'm really dirty, I need to be, and you'd run to the washing machine, and 5 clues later, there would be all your presents. So when I say it will become hereditary, it really does, because I've played that game, and my 22-year-old niece came on a gap year to live with us for a year, and she heard, because my children were still having it in the teen years. We used to write them for their dad, and I've never seen a 22-year-old run around the house so joyfully, so happy, tracing her clues. And so these games can last all the way through in different ways.
Okay, well, mealtime is sometimes a bit of a horror show for a lot of parents. How do rituals help mealtime go nicely?
Well, there's a couple of things. I always talk, because children get fussy. Babies will open their mouths and usually eat most things, and then watch your child, usually around two and a half, when they say I, they suddenly become really fussy and finicky, and everything's a sensory taste thing. They like banana, they don't like banana. I often talk about, it's very successful, is actually making a smorgasbord plate as a little ritual. So you chop up vegetables and have some proteins, and you put it on a little smorgasbord plate in the middle. This can happen at morning, afternoon tea. It can happen at the meal. And we have crocodile tongs, which are little tongs, half ones. And children are more likely to actually use a crocodile to choose their raw veggies from this platter. Some go even further and change that platter into a smiley face. You might say, I haven't got time for this, Lou. It will take you 10 seconds to arrange the banana in a smile, the strawberries in the eye, the cucumbers in the ear, the carrots as hair. Children think it's hilarious. Cannibalism, I mean, really. No. Children, it might sound strange, but they like rhyming words, rhymes. And sometimes, even if you're on your own to them, when I go to kindergartens, they say, hands together, hands apart, hands together, hands apart, now we may start. It sounds really simplistic, but this is just a little sign. I often talk about this thank you game, where we thank the cow that gave the milk that is the cheese, that we thank the farmer that planted the seed that is the bread. Because we're losing gratitude. Jamie Oliver will be very pleased that they know where food comes from. But we actually make the mealtime a little bit more enjoyable with these things. I do talk about candles, and everyone raises their eyebrows. 2 hours in candles. But I often say that children like birthday cakes. Why? Because of the candles. Why wait a whole year? Have a little candle on the table. If you're worried when they're young, leave it. But if at the end they can snuff the candle out, they love snuffers. I've had parents say, my word, my child sat for so long to snuff the candle out at the end. Some people use sand timers. Because children don't know time, just go on eBay, just get a 5-minute sand timer, 10, 23, and the magic sand will tell us while we sit at the table, while we eat, yeah, if you're having trouble sitting there. It's a really good game if you're having trouble getting out in the morning. Use the sand timer as a rhythm, but race the sand timer. So sometimes the sand timer beats us and sometimes we beat it. I think sometimes we have to, it's where we belong. I know this sounds really strange, but even from 2.5, 3, it's important that we eat with our children. We don't just put them in a high chair, they eat separately, that we put them on a little table with children's food while we have our adult food later. We, you know, we weren't meant to live in isolation, yeah? As human beings live together. And the dinner time table is the time which we call our port, our family. And Harvard University knows this, and they've studied the dinner time table, and it's really quite profound. So please look up familydinnerproject.org. And they have all these little games to communicate and things, even from a young age. So it's not about the food we eat. It's actually about the fact that we eat together.
Let's just talk about these as investments into the future. This is the way that you get your teenagers to chat to you about their day.
You
what
are
happened?
So spot on. I want to say so much. I'm holding back on so much. But when they're young, obviously we play these little thank you games. That's our ritual, that we're talking and thanking people. Even after that, we can say, oh, what did I do today? What was my favorite thing? What can I say? And if the adults role model it, they will role model it. If you ask any child, what did you do today? They'll say nothing, because they're in the present time zone, and they find it hard to go back. But as we get used to sitting together, having our little ritual, our candle, whether it's thanking, sharing something about our day, please, as adults, I talk about, if you're coming home from work, please pull aside 5 minutes from your house or childcare or daycare and check all your phone and social media. And then when you walk in the house, be ready to be present and have a technology basket that you put up high. Because if we don't have our phones at the dinner tables or anything switched on, as the years go by, they know how to self-regulate. Yeah, as teenagers, they'll be telling you off for having your phone.
Mm.
I have a new book, Growing Children, Thriving Children, on the middle years. The dinner table is so profound, and I really talk about all these games we play. And Family Dinner Project has it. And children want to find out about themselves and who they are. So it might be, if you could have a zoo animal as a pet, which one would it be and why? And everyone takes it in turns. And so you have these little games and you write out all the questions, you put them in a jar and the jar chooses and you chat, yeah, because it's really about sharing your day. There's a rose game where, and children will play this when they're 6, 7, 8, 9, where the stem is something that you learnt today, the flower is something you liked and the prickles you didn't like or was funny. But if the adult will tell their rose and then the next one, the children will join in. Some people do a weather report, and that's that children will tell their emotions through the weather. Oh, my weather was really sunny. Lightning, there was an accident. But these are the types of games that say this is not just about food. Of course, we want that. This is about us sitting. And as I say, it starts young and communicating and building that family. And I do write on teenagers. I'm the teenage columnist for a magazine called Juno. I write. And I say that if you do not let teenagers take food to their bedroom, they will always come out to eat. And if you've established a dinner time table, it is really so healthy because you can really communicate on all the things that you need to communicate naturally. And it does start at 2.5 by playing these little games.
And if you have got a fussy eater, then hopefully they'll be distracted long enough to actually shove some nutrition in there.
Yeah, look, I do find the smorgasbords and the crocodile tongs. We're very lucky nowadays. We have so much we can do with healthy eating that's fun that we can put into smoothies or we can mash up and blend and put into sauces. Often I say, look, if they only eat carrot, then they get carrot every day on their smorgasbord plate. When they're older, you can talk about what the body needs and have a little chart. And it's not to get a reward. Otherwise, every time we eat well, we might eat chocolate when we're older. It's really because we say, oh, racing cars have the best petrol. It's super petrol because it makes them go really fast. And this is a super food to make us really healthy. And these, you know, so every time we actually explain to children in a picture or imaginative way, it can help them.
So bedtime, we talked about a couple of ideas for getting children into the bed. What do you recommend for keeping them there and drifting them off to sleep?
I speak to a lot of parents and they give me their ideas. I really do believe in touch. I really do believe we need to touch our children and we need to touch our boys as much as our girls, if not more. And if you have a little rhythm of touch, some people make a pizza and they knead the dough and chop the onions, spread on the cheese. I would always roll through my fingers around my daughter's eyebrows and head and my son. And I would sing all the people that love them. Doesn't matter if you can't sing, they won't know till after 9. So I would just say, Mummy loves you. Yes, she does. Daddy loves you. Yes, he does. Jason, though, you think, doesn't love you. Yes, he does. The cat, the dog. Now, this is what I talk about. What we give to children, they give out. I walked in on my daughter. She had our Jack Russell dog wrapped up in a blanket when she was about 10, and she was singing all the dogs in the neighborhood that love the dog. And the dog was completely splayed and its body looking very blissful. I've had parents say the child blows out the light, which means they blow and the child turns it off.
Yeah.
I've had thank your lucky stars at bedtime. I've had a lady that draws the sun and the stars and the moon on her back. There's lots of little rituals, but a little ritual with touch is really, really wonderful. And they know that it's coming. You know, they know it's going to be there. They know that that's a moment of connection. If you're finding that they want more and more and more, have the magic sand timer. So we know this is the loving sand and now it's time. And we really talk about Wee Willy Winky. All the children are in their beds. It's past 7 o'clock. And so all the children are going to sleep now. It's like, yes, we're all in it together. Children also don't like you disappearing because they don't know time. So they really like you to say, I'm going to put the kettle on, I'm going to come and check, I'm going to fold the washing outside. But they're very little, so I often lay with them or sit in a chair at a ritual, and then you know to just go out as they're going to sleep. I have my book, Happy Child, Happy Home, is full, a chapter on daily routines, rituals, weekly, yearly, all these ideas you can choose from, lots of checklists. I often say to parents, if you read it, don't change everything at once. Your child will think that you've gone off and someone else has come back in your body. Think about the one area of your day and bring in a little ritual, and then when it, and see if it works, see if it brings a smile, see if it's happy, yes? Because we can change them around and then keep adding. And children will ask to change them and things will adapt as they get older. But my daughter, they don't really get memories until even after 12, 13, 14, they start to go, oh, I remember, because they're so in the moment. And her first memories were the rituals. She said, oh, I loved being put to bed like a helicopter. I loved it when you used to brush my hair and tell me stories, because it's very hard to brush long, knotty hair. But we had a little storytelling. And she's now a babysitter, and I see how she passes them on already. Just little ones, just little games.
How gorgeous. Oh, that must be very gratifying to watch that.
Yes, I just think sometimes in our fast-paced world, we sometimes lose track on what is important, and often it's the little things that add up to the big things.
Lou Harvey-Zara, teacher, parenting author, parenting expert, I think, after 5 books on parenting, talking about how to turn routines into something much more lovely, rituals. If you've been listening to Baby Talk for a while, I'm wondering if I can ask you a favour. iTunes loves a highly rated podcast, and it's even keener on reviews. If you're able to spare us a moment to rate and review Baby Talk, it means that it comes up more easily for people who are searching for good parenting podcasts.
Baby Talk!
Baby Talk!
Tell your friends if they have a baby, they need to listen to Baby Talk.
And if you have only just discovered us, why don't you pop on over on the ABC app or on iTunes to find some of the other amazing topics we've been uncovering for you. Last time on Baby Talk, we spoke to Teresa Pryor, a mum who went from being 30 kilos overweight to a personal trainer.
But when you're in the midst of being a mum with 2 small children and you're not feeling at your physical peak, I was quite overweight by that stage, it's tough. The work of being a mum is super tough. And when you add into that being physically unfit, it's even tougher.
Just one of the many amazing people that we meet every week on Baby Talk. I'm Penny Johnston, and I will see you next time on Baby Talk.
ABC Baby Talk is a weekly podcast on ABC Digital Radio, wherever you get your podcasts, and on the ABC Listen app. Like us on Facebook to find out as soon as a new episode is ready. Just search for ABC Baby Talk.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.